This is that other sports shit. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday. I believe it is the 17th. I could be wrong, but I believe it is the 17th of April. I am off today, so I'm feeling really good. I've got one of them wonky shift days off where, like, you know, like it's middle of the week kind of stuff. I don't get a Friday, Saturday. I don't get a Saturday, Sunday like some of you lucky bastards out there.
This is your Saturday, Sunday.
This is my actual Saturday, Sunday. So I just want to say shout out to all shift workers.
Oh yeah,
who got Monday, Tuesdays off, a Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever, right?
Yes.
You ain't touched a weekend off in 5-6 years, and you probably got another 5 or 6 before you actually get to touch a weekend off. Shout out to all you blue collar folks out there.
Agreed.
And
yo,
shout out to all you billionaires who just make money, because I dream about being you every single day. I want to be you. So just shout out to everybody who does something. Just go out there and make some money. I love it.
Let me just crowbar myself in here, Jesse. Once again, you know I love you, my friend. And this is that other sports show. This is Jason Valdez. That is Jesse Thomas. This is season whatever, episode whatever. Shout out those hardworking firefighters, police officers. People in the medical field. I know a lot of you cats have to work 10-day shifts, 14-day shifts. It's like 10 on, 4 off. Dude, those suck. And yeah. I am incredibly grateful for the fact that I get weekends off. Like, I don't take it for granted, especially having to work in a kitchen at one point and knowing – I don't get out till 2 in the morning. And by that point, everything's over. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything's over. So shout out to our, you know, my, I got some family. My brother-in-law is he's an officer. He works, I'm not going to get too deep into where he works.
But
shout out to him because he does a 6 month and a 6 month where 6 months he has like.
Day shift.
But day shift and works weekends, and then 6 months night shifts gets the weekends off. So
yeah,
there's kind
of enforcement. Law enforcement is a wonky field to get into in the first place, and people look at the public, you know, the public eye. They look at the media and they see this stuff. But like, if you get down to the nitty gritty, man. Cops are working either 4 10s a week or they're working 3 12s plus an 8 hour shift. And then most agencies, at least here in Oregon, most agencies do a 6 month on, 6 month off rotation. So you're either 6 month days and then you're 6 month nights or you're vice versa. And you just kind of work that shit until you're retired or dead, right?
For the rest of your life.
When you say dead, that gets
grim quick. But
so shout out to your family out there, Jay, who is doing that stuff, because it's hard work. It's mentally taxing more than it is physically taxing. I can guarantee you that right now.
Yeah.
Walking out there into that field where you are loaded, you are locked and loaded for real, right? Anything can happen at any point in time. Mentally, it is draining. It is unnerving. And you try to have a good time throughout your day. You try to crack jokes with people, but you always got to have your alerts up. It's a very tough job to manage mentally.
Yeah. So
shout out to all of our law enforcement and military as well. And our, of course, fire and medical teams out there.
Because, Jess, as you said, working, you know, Saturdays and Sundays sucks. We were just trying to preview talking about the UFC this past weekend and what you were and weren't able to watch. So we will be covering UFC 300 this show. We will be covering the NBA playoffs this show. We will be talking a little bit of Golden State Warriors, my gloom and doom, my roller coaster of emotions the last 24 hours, and my doom and gloom portion of that roller coaster is wearing off. And now I have like slight optimism. It went from like 0 to 1%. Like, you know, when you plug it, then you plug your iPhone in because it's dead, and then you see the white screen with the Apple, and then it just goes to like 1%. That's where I'm at right now, 1% optimism. But Jess, I want to talk a little pro wrestling. I want to start here.
Let's talk some wrestling.
You know, I want to do some AEW, and there's a reason for this. And it's because we've got this pay-per-view coming up this weekend. We've got some matches on paper, which are incredible. We've got the Samoa Joe versus Swerve match. We've got the Young Bucks versus FTR, and everyone's been talking Young Bucks these last few weeks. And, of course, it feels like for all the wrong reasons. When we were warming up the show here, Jess, and I do want to get into the pay-per-view and some of the matches and get some of your thoughts on them, winners and losers, of course. But let's start a little bit about let's start here, Jess. Let's start our first topic here with the AEW stuff. What are your thoughts on what's been everything going into the pay-per-view, right? You've got them kind of punching up, if you will, at the WWE. They're making it a point to make comments, you know, the shade, if you will, during these last few episodes. It, to me, feels like just punching up at a level that they just can't compete with. And it also feels to me like they're going away from we are they alternative and more into this, like, we have the best wrestlers in the world. Give me some thoughts here, Jess.
Yeah, so Twitter was all abuzz about the comments, the Will Ospreay comments on Triple H, a little shade he threw there. Some other folks had made comments during shows, during interviews, kind of like aiming at WrestleMania. I think it's funny because this is the same thing that WCW like got into like a few years after the big explosion with, you know, the NWO and Hogan.
It was like 98, 99 era, which is when shit started to hit the fan.
And this is my problem with it is Tony Khan, and I've said this on the show before, TK is a fan first and then a boss second. So everything that he does seems to be based on like what he would want to see as a fan, which if you think about it, you're like, well, that's fucking great. Like, I wish my boss thought about that at work, you know, like how would my employees want me to treat them? You know, like, but yeah. It's different because a business is a business and you can't run a business like a fan. You can't run a business like an employee. You're the boss for a fucking reason. You got to pull the strings. You got to be the puppeteer. That's one thing that made Vince so popular, and yet on the other end, obviously unpopular as well. Like, you can't ever be in the gray as the boss. And TK is trying to attempt to live in the gray. And I think that he needs to jump back. People need to get in his ear and say, hey, let's get back to putting on the greatest professional wrestling matches that have been seen in the last 10 years. Which, in my opinion, they have. AEW, some of the best professional wrestling matches I've seen in the last decade have come from AEW, not WWE. WWE is a strictly entertainment business first. Wrestling comes second. There was a stat that somebody posted this week about wrestling to, you know, promos. And the WWE's promos were like well over half the show. Yeah. There was like 10% or something of was actual wrestling. And then they go to AEW.
It might be like 25 or 30. That might be
Yeah, no, 10% is low. Was still an uneven amount of promo to actual in-ring wrestling. And then you go to AEW's and theirs was slightly opposite. It was more wrestling in-ring and then less promos. But I bet you if you go back 6 months to a year, wrestling is like 80% and then promos are like 20% because they just would send people out to wrestle. We're getting into a weird world now where Tony Khan feels a little bit jaded about how WrestleMania went down. Cody, you know, winning the world universal title.
Yeah.
I think that there's a little bit of butthurt feelings going on in that management team. And that's where some shade has been thrown. They need to jump off that bandwagon quick because they're going to piss people off. They're going to piss off fans. And I'm telling you, the difference for me and Jay, I want your opinion on this too. The difference between the two companies for me, WWE, entertainment first, AEW, wrestling first. So they need to get back to that and let their own promotions run, let their stars speak on their own, and just go back to business as usual.
Yeah, they've went away, I believe, from the alternative. You know, the WWE is the sports entertainment, and you know what you're getting when you're watching that product. Now, have they done a great job the last 6 months of maybe turning the pro wrestling product more into a fun product to watch for pro wrestling fans, the same fans that got away a few years ago? Yes. I mean, that seems pretty clear and pretty obvious. They've done a great job of bringing back the stars that we've talked about the last few weeks, as well as, hey, while you're here, here's a great match. That, to me, felt like what AEW has been able to always do, which is, here's an hour worth of great matches. Here is just 2-3 great matches strung together, you know, with less of the promos and less of the, you know, you're going to get your Jerichos and your stuff like that, but it was more focused on wrestling. Now it seems like it's gotten a little bit away. And here's where I'm going, Jess. I think you've got a great point. I think that Tony feels like some of that is slipping away. That's getting away from his grasp, where it's like, last year, this time, we had 900,000 viewers. The year prior to that, we had 1 million viewers. Now we're at, you know, 700 or whatever it is. You know, the yeah. metrics are there. I don't have them in front of me. I'm just using roundabout numbers. But I think that's where they're at. And I think because Tony feels that slipping away, he goes, what can I do to fix that? What can I do to get a splash? Well, let me try these things. And the things he's trying aren't working. But when you're trying those things, you still got to be able to give the fans that are the hardcore AEW fans, the ones that you don't want to turn away, the ones that pay $50 like every 6 weeks for these pay-per-views. Now, this past Dynamite, they had a great match with Adam Copeland and Penta. I'm pretty sure that's the first time they've ever wrestled.
It was a fantastic match. I didn't think Copeland had that in him.
And the thing is, that match gets absolutely swept under the rug the second the Young Bucks go to the CM Punk stuff, which I don't believe really benefits their company. I know they'd argue against and say, oh, we had 50,000 viewers here. We have these metrics. We have these next level metrics. But I think as a whole, when I look at it, like, all right, well, there's clearly some pull within your company, like the wrestlers, the workers, the guys that are in the locker room that disagree with that. It feels like you're not listening to them when you're just showing this shit. I don't know how that rubs them. I don't think it's going to be positive. And I think ultimately, away from what made the Young Bucks versus FTR the great match that it was 2 or 3 years ago when they had their first few matches, which yeah. is these dudes might be the best tag team on the planet. No, these dudes might be the best tag team on the planet. Let's let them get in there and just show us the masterful performance that we know they're capable of. I think we've gotten away from that completely, and I'm not sure how you lasso that in 4 days when that's the pay-per-view. But let's do this, Jess. Let's hop into that pay-per-view. I'll throw a few of these matches at you, and give me who you think wins. Again, these are great matches. Pac.
No, the matches are fantastic.
Pac versus yeah. Okada.
This match is going to be pretty insane because yes. you have Okada, who's a very big, powerful, strong man. You have Pac, who is that agile, like, flyweight. What did they call the
cruiserweight?
The cruiserweight.
205 live.
He's a cruiserweight, you know, who's got some muscle. He's got some of the high-flying abilities. I'm going to go on the edge and say that it's going to be a phenomenal match. I'm going to give it a thumbs up right now because I bet you that these two will not fail in that category. I think that Okada will win this match, though. I don't think that there will be interference either. I think it'll be a straight-up win.
This is one of those matches where you know the expectations will live up and will they surpass? I think Okada wins, but again, this is a match on paper. These two dudes know how to dance.
Amazing.
Let me jump up to Swerve versus Samoa Joe. Who do you think wins that match?
You know what's funny is, like, I spent, like, this whole, like, last couple years talking about how Cody isn't going to finish his story, or at least this past year, if Cody's not going to finish his story. Well, I feel that there's a story that's unfinished, and that belongs to Swerve. Mm-hmm. I think Swerve, without MJF being in the building, with Ospreay being semi-new to the American crowd, I think that they need a strong face to be the champion. And I love Samoa Joe, and I think that he's the perfect candidate to pass on the title. I think Swerve wins. I think he wins big. I think he wins straight up. And he gets his first AEW championship.
I agree. I think it's unfortunate, again, this stuff has gotten swept under the rug in the last 2 weeks. I think about the signing the contract in blood, which was kind of cool. Swerve attacking Joe, and they have to move the match with Dustin from the front of the show to the back of the show. I thought that was fun. Joe did a great
job. How about all the little Twitter wars and the Instagram
Joe's
battles?
Joe is great. I'm telling you. Joe has been an incredible transitional champion. And I believe this is where the transition ends. If it doesn't, I believe it's only because MJF's coming back like real soon, and they're gonna do that. But I don't believe that. I think this is where you put the belt on Swerve, and you go, let's run this at least until the London show, and then that you do Ospreay versus him in London.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I love that match. FTR Young Bucks, Jess, who do you think wins this one? Oh, ladder Young match, Bucks. By the way.
FTR Young Bucks. So I am a firm believer, and I've been this way, I'm going to say, for the past couple years at least, if not a little bit longer. I think the FTR is the greatest tag team in the history of world wrestling. So I believe there's not a tag team that you can name that I feel can match FTR's ability, strength to finesse, mic skills, how they cut their promos, the differences between the two, right? You always have to have a tag team that's not the same, right?
Yeah.
You can't have two guys that are exactly the same. That just doesn't work. You know, you got these two guys, and they're just slightly different. They both have a little bit different attitude. They both look a little bit different. The builds are a little bit different. It's a perfect tag team combination, and they're very old school wrestling. They have a lot of old school moves that they throw in, and they have adapted their style to the newer age wrestling stuff. I think the Young Bucks, I think that this is their way of getting out of wrestling for like another year.
Mm.
I think that they are definitely trying to transition into backstage management more than being in ring. And I think that FTR comes in, they stomp a mud hole in their asses. They win the AEW tag team titles for what, the third time, I believe, and then they move on with their life. I think the FTR holds onto the belts for at least a year.
It's taken me about 10 minutes to geek out over somebody's physique, but Cash's arms are just fucking wide. He's got real wide arms. I'm just so impressed by his arms. I'm going to disagree. I think this is where you get the Jack Perry run in, pushes over someone on the ladder close to getting the belts, and then the Young Bucks run up the ladder and get the belt. I think this is where you get the controversial Jungle Jack Perry to come back and run in, and then you do like a Young Bucks Jack Perry trios weird corporate elite type thing. That's where I think they're going there.
Like Perry joins
the elite,
joins the
yeah,
Bucks,
he's the new elite.
Okada,
yeah,
and
they're the new elite. They're like the corporate.
I just
want to
say
2.0.
I believe that Jack Perry is. I think that the Perry CM Punk thing is way blown out of proportion.
What did you think when you watched the video? You watched the video, right?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
What made me most mad is Punk trying to go after TK.
That happened.
Made me more. Now, Punk going and saying, hey, kid, you're being loud and noisy in the fucking locker room and nobody likes your little punk ass. Take your fuzzy-headed bitch ass out of here. You know, like, that's a different story. That's locker room talk, man. If you've ever played sports, if you've ever been an athlete, you're in the back room with the guys, shit fucking happens. Shit pops off, guys. People who are in that intense, like, you're about to compete, like, shit gets hot, man. And sometimes tempers will flare. That's what that was. Jack Perry was being an idiot. But he's also a young kid who's in a big profession, making some money now, has a name for himself. He might have been mouthing off a little bit. Punk going over there and putting him to sleep, big fucking deal. I honestly don't have no – what I do have a problem with is when you watch the video further, TK's there trying to stop everything from happening. He's telling Punk to calm down. Punk takes a quick lunge. That's where I had a problem.
This is great, by the way, Jess. I don't necessarily agree, but I don't necessarily disagree. I'm not a big fan of locker room behavior, therefore it's okay. Although I understand it, playing sports in high school, I'm more of a, you know, that you're in a professional setting and motherfuckers should be acting like professionals. And when you're especially right there, like the room again is the locker room, but they're not in the locker room. They're just outside of a curtain where there's whatever, you know, 70,000 fucking people. You're right there in what they call the gorilla position. I think Punk was completely unprofessional, which is unfortunate because he's a vet. You know, we did our Punk stuff last show, so yeah, we don't need to continue to fucking. But what bothered me more is exactly what you said. I wasn't a fan of the pie face or the push. I wasn't a fan of the choke. It happened, but him kind of firing towards TK. I mean, this is a 130-pound dude that's, you know, you want to call him a rich kid. You want to call him entitled. That's cool. That's your opinion. Whatever. Maybe you're right. But it's still like, it's not only is that your boss, not only is that the guy that cuts your checks, but that's just not a dude that is used to the locker room behavior, the physicality.
100%. That's a good point.
Of what happens when the boys start acting up and getting rowdy. He's never been in that. I don't think he's, I don't know, but I'm guessing he's never been in that type of scenario, that type of situation, you know, we're in that close, you know, and I'm sure his whole thing is, you know, Tony saying, hey, stop, cool the fuck off, whatever he says, but you are 100% right. Punk fires back at him, and it's unprofessional, and that, in my opinion, is enough in any corporate situation, especially when you're dealing with, like, I don't know, like a locker room, or, I mean, locker room's the worst word to use right there, but don't edit it out. But if you're in a professional corporate setting, and that is a professional corporate work environment, and he fucked up, so here we are. Jess, we're going to keep it moving here. We hit our pro wrestling. Did we do Danielson and Ospreay real quick? What do you think?
No, we have to. We have to do Ospreay and Danielson. So I think that this match is going to steal the show. I guarantee you right now it's going to be better than anything
else. How this match doesn't go on last is really tough.
This match right here is something that I think pro wrestling fans have been waiting for a long time. Ospreay has his talents in his abilities. And Danielson does his thing. He's such a technical guy. I think it's just overall it's going to be, you know, I think Dave is going to probably give it a 5 out of 5 star. I'm going to give it a thumbs up right now and tell you there is no way in hell that this match fails. Unless one of these guys injures themselves midway through the match, this match is going to blow the fucking roof off. It's going to be something that we've never seen before. These two talents are two talents that obviously Danielson's been in the business for a while. And Ospreay has been slowly coming up through the business, hitting New Japan for a long time. Now he's here, right? But it's a whole new stage for Ospreay. This match means a lot to him. I think he's going to put on some shit that we have not seen before. This match is going to be fire.
If you put...
I'm taking Ospreay in this match.
Ospreay wins 1,000,000%. Thumbs up. Lock it in. Thumbs up already. This is going to be one of those matches that gives... night one Saturday Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth match a run for its money. It's not going to have the star power, but it is going to absolutely, it's going to get down with the get down. I'm doing everything in my power to not say cook because too many people are using cook. So let me say this, Jess, I don't know where you stick this match on the card other than right in the front as the opener. And just go, here's where the bar is set, dudes. Good luck. Or at the very end, if you put this on before Swerve versus Samoa Joe, that match, that crowd's going to be so deflated. They're going to be so tired after the 4 hours of wrestling that you get going to these pay-per-views. You got to fucking put this match either at the very front, opening the card, or at the very end, which kind of sucks because I feel like that devalues
that devalues Swerve's moment
because we're both assuming he wins.
Yeah,
you can't steal his moment from him.
No, if I'm TK, or at least if I'm his matchmakers, you have to make this the first match of the night. And for the reasons that you mentioned, and just for so we're coming off of WrestleMania weekend, right? Two nights of pretty fucking fantastic wrestling. Like if you ask me, you know, I'm giving WrestleMania, you know, like overall probably like, you know, 7 out of 10, you know, 7 out of 10 score. I thought that most of the matches were absolutely incredible. And then you have to hear about how Julia is potentially signing a contract with WWE. Now you're getting your, you know, your New Japan Wrestling and some of that, you know, foreign wrestling companies. That was your base for taking talent. Now WWE is starting to take some of that talent. So you need a banger to kick off your show. I think that's the only way to do it. Ospreay and Danielson.
We're hopping into the NBA. Jesse and I are now going to pick your NBA champions. So strap in. We will be talking UFC 300 after this. But if you're listening to this, that does not give you permission to fast forward through our NBA takes. Jess, I'm going to start in the East. The play-in games are tonight. I'm just going to throw one of these fucking I don't even know how to do this. How do we do this? Let's just go here. Bulls, Hawks. Who you got?
I got Chicago in this.
I agree. Sixers, Heat. Who you got?
I have Miami.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So Sixers have to play the – who is it? The winner of the 9-10? So Bulls versus Sixers? Is that correct? Yeah. Bulls, Sixers. Who you got?
I would have Philadelphia in that.
Yes, 1,000,000%, because they're going to have Embiid versus whoever they have. Okay, let's
keep some Eastern European guy.
Jam through these already, Jess. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, let's do it, man. So let's go.
Okay, so we're gonna throw.
We have Miami and New York.
We go. Yep, and we got the Sixers and Boston.
Boston.
All right, Sixers, Boston. Boston Sixers, Celtics. Boston. Who you got?
I have Boston.
Okay, how many games?
5 games.
Oof. Boston and 6. Sixers, I can see a thing where Sixers go 1-1, and then everyone's like, oh, we've seen Boston do this before. We've seen this one seed. We've seen this happen with the one seeds before.
Boston definitely ain't losing the first round.
Yeah, Boston in 6. Cleveland Cavs, Orlando Magic. This is a lot of – this is like a young Wolves game. This is kind of fun.
It is.
Jess, who you got?
This shows how far the NBA has been shifting over the past probably 3 to 4 years. I would take Cleveland. I think that they're just better suited for the playoffs right now. And I think that even though Pablo is a fantastic finisher, I don't think that he's got the talent around him to get him any further than where they're at.
I'm glad you mentioned Pablo because I think he's such a difference maker here. Orlando wins this, it's because he just absolutely balls. He was like for 30 a night. But I like Cleveland in 6.
Yeah.
All right, the struggling Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know how many games they're going to have Giannis or if Giannis is going to play, but let's say he misses the first two games, Jess. Let's just say versus the Indiana Pacers. Shout out my boys who are big Haliburton guys. I got some friends in the hoop chat. They are big Haliburton guys. Who you got?
I'm reluctantly taking Milwaukee, even if, say, Giannis misses 2, even 3 games. I think the Bucks are still pretty fairly well built for the playoffs. They're a defensive-minded team. They do still have some guys that can score. Scoring will be an issue. It won't come as fluid as having a guy like Giannis on the court, but I think that they'll be able to slip by the Pacers. But I'm telling you, the Pacers – they are a shoot 'em. They are shoot and die team. Like if they're making their baskets, they can win games, but they go on cold streaks. So
yeah,
Milwaukee better hold. Milwaukee needs to hold for one of those.
The Pacers and the Mavs are going to have the same strategy, which is let's shoot 40 to 50 threes a game and see how that goes. See where we're at in the fourth quarter. I like Milwaukee in seven. I think this is going to go long. Man, I hate to echo Stephen A. Smith here, but if they lose, I don't know what happens with Dame. I don't know what happens with Giannis. The downfall of this team since they won a championship, if they lose in the first round, golly.
You have to look at how they were built when they won that championship. Very defensive minded. They went and got, like some of the bigger, stronger, power forward centers. They
Drew
got a bunch
Holiday
of
was an
there.
Enormous
Drew Holiday was a huge loss this year. And as you see him going to Boston, they're the number one seed. There's reason for that. Boston's got all the components.
Just help me out. Who is the fucking coach that they had at the beginning of the year that was on the staff that was like the overseer guy that left? Was it Budenholzer? It wasn't.
I thought
Budenholzer.
He was in Atlanta.
Who the old Portland coach? Stotts? Is it fucking Stotts?
Yeah, it was Stotts.
Where he was like, this meat's funny. I'm fucking throwing it away now. I'm out of here. I'm fucking going home. I'm good, y'all. I'm fucking good. And then it's like, there were all the reports about their coach. And then it's like management's going down and they're watching the practices. And they're like, no, we got to get rid of this motherfucker. He's talking to Doc, and Doc was helping them, but then Doc replaces them. Then they remember. Then they were like 3-7. It was just—it's been a fucking shit show there, boy.
I think Doc Rivers. Doc is one of the luckiest fucking dudes because I do not think that he is a good head coach.
He is parlaying that championship into like five different jobs.
Oh my god!
I'm talking an ESPN job. He had a podcast. Like, the fucking guy is really parlaying that job. Like,
if can anybody out there that's an act like, I know that Jason's a basketball guy too. I am not so much. If anybody out there can just answer me, what makes Doc Rivers so fucking good at his job? Like, somebody please answer me that question, because if it's that one championship you want to talk about, then there's probably 30 other head coaches that say, oh, I won a championship. I don't have a job right now. Like, it's impossible. I can't put together. He's had a great Clippers team. He's been a part of other great basketball squads.
Dude, that Clippers team was part of that team. Never got past the Warriors, and just that same with Portland.
They still had a championship caliber team. Like, they had guys that were young still.
They ran into the Warriors, dude. That was it.
Still relatively healthy, and he could not coach that team to nothing.
It's a good thing.
And now he's got this Bucks team, who I believe, Jason, you and I both picked to be number one seed. Like, we had some crazy like NBA end of the year show last year. We love the Bucks. We said Milwaukee, of course. Who else is going to be there? Boston, yeah. Boston will be number two, but Milwaukee will be number one. And I believe that we both picked Milwaukee to win a championship this year. Now look where we're at.
It's awesome. It's a mess. Ugly. Mess. All right. The Knicks, the Heat. Who you got?
You know what?
You're gonna do the thing.
I'm gonna do my thing right now. I don't believe that the Knicks are built for playoff basketball. I think that they have they have some decent. They've had decent luck the Eastern Conference again. I mean, when the Milwaukee Bucks are the number three seed, you know the Eastern Conference has just kind of slipped a bit. The Knicks have gotten some nice pieces. Some of their draftees have been playing nicely. Obviously, the point guard, what's the point guard's name? Everybody loves this guy.
Brunson.
Jalen Brunson he's parlayed his career, coming in over to New York and done very well.
He did everything right. He's done everything.
He's proving to be a star in this league.
Superstar.
But you can't count on Brunson to win you a playoff game. Playoffs are different, folks. Playoffs are different. You need that second and third guy down the row. Jalen Brunson will not beat the Heat. He will not beat the Bulls or the Hawks. It's not happening. The New York Knicks are losing in the first round.
Jess, I have to remind you of his he had that Mavs run where Luka was out, and he put that team on his back. I think they won at least one or two series with just Brunson. He had a pretty good run. This could be one of those runs where he a phenomenal sick guy, because I think this is going to go seven games. He just has a phenomenal series, and I think he does enough to lift him in seven games. And all of a sudden, he's like the king of New York. He's Carmelo Anthony fucking 2024. That's where he's at. I like the Knicks. I like the Knicks. My confidence in this pick is the lowest of any of these picks we've done, even the ones that I was stumbling to get over in the play-ins. Okay, play-ins on the West are done. We'll do some Warriors talk here towards the end. But, Jess, let's start at the top. So the Kings and the Pels, I believe they play tonight or tomorrow night. Who you got?
I have the Kings winning this. I think the Kings are a better suited team. They got a little bit more talent, you know. I and plus it's gonna matter if Zion's injury is gonna allow him to go.
That's Zion.
So last night, what we see is Zion have what could have been, should have been a career defining moment. He scores like 40, 41. I think he got like 10, 12 boards. He had a couple blocks. He had some big dunks. He was on his way to beating LeBron. And then he comes up limp and has like a hammy issue. And then he sits. I think it was like the last like 2.5 minutes or so of the game. And then the Lakers managed to pull away and win that. Imagine if he doesn't get hurt. Imagine if he stays in. Not one player on that Lakers team could stop him last night. Again, like I said, he was going in for a career-defining moment, and it went to waste.
I'm going to spend 5 seconds on this one because, let me tell you, and I hate to go there, and here's the old man shaking his fist at the cloud moment in the show, but this fucking guy LeBron gets so many whistles. And there was the moment in the second quarter where the Lakers made a run on just LeBron getting to the free throw line. LeBron getting nice passes where they're, you know, cheap chicken shit, not playoff-type fouls. You know, a little rake for the ball type shit, not necessarily impacted the actual play. And all of a sudden, there's such an upswing of like 10 points, 12 points, because the Lakers have a +8 and a free throw discrepancy in the second quarter alone. It was unbelievable the amount of love the Lakers were getting. And but not only that, the Pels were just urinating on themselves. Like
they also missed, like they went like 0 for 10 or something at one stretch.
Yeah,
like,
and I know everything. And listen, and all my CJ McCollum haters on my timeline, shout out to y'all because y'all were burying this motherfucker. But I keep hearing they need a two-point guard. That Calderon was looking like a point guard last night. Now maybe he ain't a dude that can get you 25 a night, but he looked really good to me. Scrappy too. But you know, you called it, Jess, at the end of that game, down that stretch, they make a run, they're in the game, they go up like 2 or 4, and then Zion gets hurt and he's upset, and that was it. That was fucking it. That was the difference.
That was a catalyst.
That was fucking it. And let me tell you, man, I'm not happy about that. I'm very upset.
I'm just gonna say this:
too many whistles for the goddamn Lakers.
We spoke about Jimmy's body type. We body shamed Jimmy Uso last.
Last show. It's done.
Hey, listen here, fat boy, Zion.
Oh boy,
fucking lose 25, and you won't be landing with 270 pounds on those knees, on those hammies. You'll be landing light. You'll still be dunking hard. You'll still be making highlight real dunks. You'll still be just, you know, and your scoring will be easier because you'll be more fluid on the court. I'm telling you, I know that the weight that Zion carries helps him, right? Because, like, we saw it happen last night. He was bodying people, and people could not, like, they just couldn't stop. He wasn't getting called up.
Cool. It looked he's LeBron-like, very Shaq-like.
Very linebacker-ish basketball play from Zion. I love to see it. But, damn, every time he jumps – I cringe at the thought of him landing with 275 pounds underneath him. And then last night, this is what happens. He goes up. I think it was, I don't even think he dunked the ball when he did it. I think it was a jumper. Thought it was a jumper. And then he comes down hard and he starts running up the court. Doesn't look like there's nothing wrong. And then you see him kind of pull up and he's like wincing. Look here, chubby.
Oh.
Lose 20 pounds. 20 pounds. I'm body shaming you into 20 pounds.
Shout out Reggie Miller. Hey, listen, you're not mad. You're just disappointed.
But I am disappointed.
But shout out Reggie Miller, who made it a point to go, you know, Zion starts doing his thing, and Reggie goes, you know, he's got a personal chef now.
See, I'm telling you, it's a topic.
Is that a polite way of saying he's less fat because he's eating leaner? Like, what? I don't
he don't
know
look less fat, though. At
the crib.
He don't look less fat. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, like, yeah, I don't even know, like, where, like, what Reggie was doing with that.
Look,
all right,
I'm sorry that Reggie's only 135 pounds.
Let's run through. He's like Tony Conway. Let's run through the West. Okay,
let's run through the West.
OKC versus the Kings. Who you got?
I got OKC. I think that they'll. I now I'm telling you, this is not as easy as picking Boston over the 8 seed. Okay, in the East, OKC is the youngest ever 1 seed. And they will have their moments of just mental lapses. I don't think that they're going to get anywhere further than the first round, but I'll give them Sacramento.
I like OKC in six games. I think that Sacramento will be a little lively at home. Clippers, Mavs. Boy, this is sexy. Who you got?
You know what? I'm going Dallas. I think Dallas hits more of their. I think Dallas hits more of their threes than they miss. Luka is capable of beating Kawhi. He's done it before. We've seen it happen. I don't like the Clippers at all. I don't like how they're built. I know that they get to the playoffs every year, but it's a shit show every time they're there. So I'm going to go Dallas.
Shout out my boy Fatboy Fadeaway Sports. I've said it previously to him on one of the numerous live shows that he's on. I don't trust the Clippers. I don't trust James Harden. I don't trust Kawhi Leonard's health this late into the season. I hope he proves me wrong, but I just don't. And we all know PG-13, he's up, he's down. I like Dallas in six. The Minnesota Timberwolves are taking on the Phoenix Suns. I mean, can we admit that the Suns are a little bit struggling? Jesse, you got?
I'm going to go with the minor upset. It's only a minor because the how they're, you know, posted. But I think the Suns win this series.
Many games.
They got a lot of – I think it's going to go – I think it'll be six games. I think they went 4-2. I think Minnesota plays tough at home. I think Phoenix, puts some of that – they've been in the playoffs a lot, you know what I mean? They made a couple runs. I think Devin Booker is – you know, he's bound to win a championship somewhere.
He's that dude.
I think that KD will come alive for a few games, and Phoenix will manage to just simply put up more points.
So I disagree. I like Minnesota in six. I struggle to believe that the Suns will be able to put together four games against a team that thrives defensively, and this is a bad matchup for them. I've mentioned it several times recently, Jess, is Anthony Edwards. Can he have that big playoff series? He's going to be playing against loose defenses, and I believe he's going to have to probably put up somewhere between 30, 35 points every night. They're going to shoot a lot of balls. They're going to score 120 points some nights. I like Minnesota in six. The Denver Nuggets versus the Los Angeles Lakers. I can't believe the amount of hype that I'm already seeing in this matchup and people that think the Lakers have a shot. But with that said, Jess, who you got?
It's another Nugget sweep over the Lakers.
Sweep! Whoa, the sweep!
Wow. I'm calling the sweep. Get the broom out, baby.
Yay. Listen,
get the broom out.
I'm so
LeBron.
Glad.
LeBron can only hide behind referees for so long. The Nuggets are a very, very good basketball team with very, very good basketball players. And Jokic is the best basketball player on the planet right now. So, and he has been for the past probably 3 years. So
when Jesse and I were kicking the can on what we were gonna do for this week's show, he mentioned the NBA like at the end of the trail end of the conversation. He's like, "Yo, should we throw in some NBA?" I'm so glad we decided. You are hotter than a pistol this show. Lakers, gentlemen sweep. I think Lakers will win one game at home, like four, some shit, game three. They'll be down 2-1. Yeah, I like Denver in five games. Let's quickly run back to our East picks. And we had the Celtics. We had the Cavs.
Yes.
What do you got?
I got Boston. I think it's pretty easy. Boston's games? Just – I think five games.
I agree. We both had the Bucks. Now I have New York, so I'll give you my pick right now. I got Milwaukee over New York, but I don't love it. By this point, I'm assuming Giannis is back.
Yes.
So I'm going Milwaukee over New York. You had.
I had Miami.
So Miami Heat. Oof, who you got?
I still got Milwaukee. Giannis is back. He's probably feeling pretty good. I think they win in six.
So let's go Eastern Finals. Bucks, Celtics. Who you got?
This is the year Boston finally gets a one up on Milwaukee. I think Boston wins. I think it goes seven games. It's gonna be. I think it's gonna be an instant classic.
It's so crazy because we've been picking on Milwaukee this entire show, but we both got them in the Eastern Finals. I like Boston in six. I think that Milwaukee's going to struggle. I just really want to see again where I've said it so many times. I'm going to keep fucking standing on that business. I just think Giannis is going to struggle. I don't know how you come back from a leg injury like that and play productively playoff basketball, 28, 30 minutes a game. That's what they're going to need out of them. All right. So we both got Boston in the finals. Let's come back to the West here, Jess.
This is where it gets tricky.
It's where it gets very slippery. We've got a slippery slope. OKC, we both got the Mavs. Who you got?
Yes. I got Dallas. I do not trust OKC against the battle-tested Luka. I don't at all. Oh, I think that OKC is young. They got some young guns out there. SGA is an amazing player. They're well-coached, but they're a year or two away from beating even the Mavericks in the playoffs in a second round.
You've got, you know, Jess, you almost talked me into this just because I want to lean on the playoff experience of Luka going back to his days overseas where he was winning championships on top of Kyrie's NBA championship experience. But I hesitantly go OKC in seven. I think that they're just young and they can throw up 120, 130 on you on any given night. And also Dallas does not play defense. So I like OKC. All right, our next matchup. We both have Denver.
No, you have Minnesota.
Yeah, but we both have Denver. And then I have Minnesota. You have Phoenix. So who you got?
I got Denver over each. So
yep, that's fair. Yeah, I got Denver over Minnesota, but I think this goes seven. I think Minnesota gives them fits just because they play defense. But and you're gonna have that weird game where Denver can lay some eggs offensively, and I think you're gonna have. They're going to struggle defensively. I think, again, I like to pick defensive teams when we get into the playoffs, and I just love what I've seen out of Minnesota's defense. So, I'm going to go Denver. All right. I've got
– hold on.
We both have Denver.
We both have Denver.
You've got Dallas.
I've got Dallas.
I've got
– You've got OKC. I've got Denver over each.
Yeah. I've got Denver over OKC. We have Denver. We have we have Boston.
Neither of these two teams, even with Chet Holmgren, none of these teams have anybody that can defend Jokic, either in the paint or in the outside. He's going to go and have a heyday. Yep. This is what makes him a true elite player in this league. There is not one player in this league that can attempt to stop him from either the inside or the outside or the mid-range game. He is greatness at all three levels, and he can defend, and he will rebound. He is an all-around guy. That's what makes him an elite superstar.
He's going to find ways to win series on his own, and then they're also – they lean on that championship pedigree, which is just kind of sportsism 101, right? Like you just go straight to that.
What's the little white boy's name that they have? Brown? Is that his name?
I think it's Braun, but it's spelled Brown.
Is it Braun?
Yeah.
I think it's weird. Yeah, it sounds
but
Brown.
I mean, dude, at the
but
end
even
the,
him, like yeah. This kid can go on, he can go on hot streaks and get you 18, 25, you know,
at the end of the day, they've got Murray, they've got Michael Porter Jr. And
they got Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, Jokic knows where to find all these dudes, where to find them. They play collectively really well, and I don't see anybody in the West beating them in a seven-game series. And I don't see Boston beating them in a 7-game series either. I got Denver winning
Neither
the
do I.
championship. Is that it?
I got Denver winning championship. I have Denver winning in six. I think that Boston collectively, I know that Drew Holiday is a great addition, but Jamal Murray will shut him down. They'll basically cancel each other out at some point, right? Like, they're both great defenders. But Jamal will get hot. Drew's not necessarily known as a scorer, even though he can. Again, what it's going to come down to is they're going to put Aaron Gordon I'm losing his name already.
White Unicorn, fucking Porzingis.
Yeah. They're gonna put Gordon on Porzingis, and that's going to shut Porzingis down. And then basically it's going to run through the two superstars. And then I think that Jokic is going to just manage to win games. Again, there's not anybody in this playoff that can stop him. He's Shaquille O'Neal in 98 or whatever, 2005. I mean, he's Shaq, except he can shoot the ball.
He's Shaq with like Olajuwon's footwork,
yeah,
but just slower, but no one can stop it. Like, there's no explosiveness to it. His basketball IQ is ridiculous. But again, it's that team chemistry, and just Murray knows where Jokic likes the ball. They know where to be in specific spots during specific moments during the game. And I know when it comes down to those clutch moments, you know, the last core 4 or 5 minutes, they're really tough to beat, man. I think it goes seven. I can see it wouldn't shock me to see Boston win it, because maybe Holiday is just some insane. Maybe Holiday is some insane X factor. Maybe you get those 2 or 3 Porzingis games where you're like, oh, she had 22, and that was the. Maybe they get into some shootouts, you know. But I'm doing a lot of maybes to try and figure out a way to formulate this is how Boston wins, because I feel like I didn't do this with Max Holloway last week. And by the way, can we name this show Blessed Man Forever? I'll make sure we name this show Blessed Man Forever, please. But yeah, that's where I'm at. I like Denver in seven. I initially thought Denver in six, but I'm going to go Denver in seven.
Yeah, either way, I believe that Jokic, I think he gets another regular season MVP. I think he will end up with another playoff NBA Finals MVP as well. So,
I'm excited to talk 300, Jess. I did miss the Harrison versus Holly Holm fight. You and I were discussing this prior. This was like the fight I wanted to the most, and I missed it, but here we are.
Can I ask you? We're going to turn the tables here. I'm going to ask you, what was the most surprising fight to you?
Well, we're going to spend an hour talking about it if we start there. I think Max Holloway beating Justin Gaethje was the most.
I don't think that's
really
a huge.
What
surprise.
Do you think? What? Give me yours.
I'm going to go lower on the totem pole. I'm going to say Bobby Green's win with Jim Miller, to me,
was
the most surprising fight on the card.
Wow.
I did not see that vintage Bobby Green shit happening.
No,
I saw Jim Miller winning either on the feet or on the ground. I thought it was going to be I didn't think it was going to be a wash. We both said that, you know, Bobby Green's a tough guy. He's, you know, he's an athlete. He comes in prepared. But I believe Jim Miller could win this fight any way he wanted. And to see Jim just get beat the fuck up for two rounds.
Yeah.
I did not see that happen.
I thought that fight would be more of a rock'em sock'em robot type fight, and Green did a great job of just doing the Bobby Green thing, you know, being, you know, MMA slick, if you will, with his own style of the role in the southpaw. He touched it. He really touched Jim Miller up. I saw some 10-8s in there. I just thought it was more of a clinic. You know, I went 10-9 on majority of those rounds.
Yeah, I would say 10-9.
I think there was some
drops. Miller won the first round.
Miller just Miller just couldn't fucking find him. That was it. And Green is
– He had him on the street, baby. Miller had Green on the street in the first round and just could not muster up a finish. And then
I think that he had – again, you know, the thing with Green is he's not necessarily a bull matador, but he kind of is. But that style is just, it's not tough to find, But with Miller's style, it was tough to find because he's just
I do like that he called out Batty at the end of it.
Oh, that was good shit. Give me some thoughts on some of these undercard fights, Jess. We both thought Figgy was going to beat Cody. I thought he beat him relatively easily. What'd you think?
I think that Cody ran into the problem that he always runs into. Cody's got really fast hands. Like, he could have the fastest hands in MMA. I'm being honest. His hands, he's incredible. His footwork, his boxing skills, the way he throws his hands, so damn fast. But here's what happens. Figgy was like, fuck, man, I'm getting touched up by this dude. I don't want to lose on this card. He got him to the ground. He subbed him out. And it was a beautiful work on the ground, yeah. By the way, by Figgy.
Cody stuck around for a second on the ground, which was surprising to me. So credit.
He fought out of a couple yeah, of grips.
Credit to him for that. But, I mean, we all know Figgy is just, he's a fucking snake. He gets you on that ground. You're going nowhere. Moicano versus Turner. There was fucking some controversy on this fight because Turner dropped Moicano early but didn't follow up. I don't think that's much controversy. Why would I jump into a jiu-jitsu dude's guard? I'm good. Stand him up, you know? Like, yeah. Give me some thoughts on this fight.
I just want to say that Jalen Turner is still very young in this sport, yes. And it showed in this fight. It's fight IQ, right? Not that Moicano is you know, much older. Like, he's a bit older, but he's not old. Moicano just showed more ring experience or more cage experience, cage IQ, fight IQ. We talk about it a lot on the show. Turner had dropped him. I think that if he would have jumped down, started throwing some of the big ass hammers and the big ass long arms, yeah. He's got, he had a shot at finishing that fight. And it was still early. I don't think that Moicano had enough grip to really get in a submission attempt. I mean, he could have attempted it, but I don't think it would have been a great attempt. Turner's could have broken out of that and got back to his feet. I think it was a wasted opportunity. Moicano went out and then he finished his opportunity.
Yeah, you know, so first of all, great point on Turner, and I always Charles Oliveira comparison, but I think when you're this young and you're fighting, you know, top five, top 10 competition, and they're at their peak, it's okay to trade wins and losses, especially if you're competitive, you know what I mean? If you're getting steamrolled, that's another thing, but this fight was competitive. Turner will be back. Moicano jumps up the ranks a little bit here. You know, he's got that mouthpiece with which people just an overall impressive performance. Diego Lopez, speaking of impressive performance, TKO on Sadiq Yusuf. A little bit of dribbling of the head off the mat. Just give me some quick thoughts on this fight.
Besides having the second worst chest tattoos outside of Jamal Hill, Diego Lopez is a fucking killer. I love this kid. He is Sadiq Yusuf is a tough dude. We talked about it on the show last week. We gave him huge props, but we both said Diego was going to win this fight. I didn't think Diego was going to finish it like that, but damn, he got some head bouncing off the mat going on. He fucking finished it with his hands, and he showed that he's capable both on the ground and obviously standing up.
Bonacall upset because the fans are booing him because this fight is boring. Why don't you watch Diego Lopez, see his crowd reaction when he's dribbling my man's head off the mat? Like, there's a difference. There's just a difference. I missed the Kayla fight versus Holm, Jess. I said I was going to rewatch before this taping. Give me some thoughts on this.
I also didn't get to watch this because...
Oh, you missed this fight too?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't tell me that beforehand? Too.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I did, folks. I missed this fight. You know, I was watching prelims and everything at work. I did not get to see this fight.
Okay, listen, I have a built-in excuse too. I had to drive to my take photos with my kid because she was going to a prom. So I have a built-in excuse to that. We both. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. There was 100 fights. We had to miss one.
And of course, it makes us look like misogynistic pigs. The only fight that we miss is like fucking the.
But I was being a hashtag girl. Was it dad?
That's right.
Dad girl? Dad?
Girl dad.
Girl. I'm being a hashtag girl dad.
Girl dad.
Thank you.
Girl dad. Yeah.
Thank you for lassoing that in. Sterling beats Qatar. Give me some thoughts on it.
I think Aljamain Sterling, I think we both picked Sterling in this fight.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm.
Sterling is in the phenomenal part of his career where he is definitely ready for another championship. And I think that he is definitely capable of going and getting the featherweight championship. I think he He looks phenomenal. I don't think I've ever seen him physically look better than he did at 300. He looks ginormous. He's got muscles on muscles. He was quick. He was fast. I didn't see anything that Qatar had that Sterling wasn't prepared for. Yep. This guy is ready for another championship run.
Yeah, I agree. Smart to grapple fuck with Qatar because you know he's got incredible strikes and just won all three rounds. Yuri, who you know I am an enormous fan of, defeats Alexander Rakic via TKO. Yuri survived the storm, if you will. He definitely took some damage in this fight. I just saw a video of him. He's like, I don't know where he's at. He's like in the middle of nowhere, and he's in a log cabin, and his eye looks like shit. And he's just like, it's part of the fight, part of the war. Anyway, I'll be announcing who I want to fight soon. And I'm like, damn, this guy's such a fucking animal. But Jess, Rocky gave him some fits. Let's keep it real. I know we discussed Rocky being a slight favorite, and that really putting my jaw on the floor as we discussed this fight last week. But give me some thoughts on this fight.
I honestly don't think that Yuri is like over the hill by any means, right? Like when I watch him fight, everything looks so awkward. Nothing looks fluid.
Yep.
Oh. His striking is very like, you know, blip, like glitchy. His kicks are real glitchy. Yeah. Like I don't understand. Like I have such a hard time. It's
difficult to compare his style to somebody because there is no one with his style. You can't he's an Anderson, he's a Machida, he's a fucking, there's none of that, you know?
And the worst thing about it is when I watch Yuri fight, everything he throws looks ugly to me. Nothing looks pretty. There's nothing pretty about his style, and yet he just, you know, he's got that samurai spirit. He talks about it all the time. He talked about it again at the end of the fight, you know? I thought Rakic looked great in the first couple rounds. Like, I thought that even going into the second round, even though it was getting dicey there at the end of the first, Yuri was trying to put on a little bit of a comeback. I thought, man, Rakic is going to finish this fight. Like, there's no way that Yuri wins this fight. He does not come out of this fight.
He was touching him, dude.
And Rakic was putting some pop in there, and he was dropping. He dropped Yuri a couple times. But you know what? Sometimes, you know, speaking from a, I don't know, we'll go spiritual here, folks. Sometimes when you have a belief in yourself that goes above all else, that heart that we talk about in athletics, fucking Yuri put that all together, man. There was no way Yuri should have won that fight. I'm just saying, there's no way that Yuri should have won that fight. Rakic looked the better striker. He looked the better kicker.
Let me tell you,
he had everything going. Rakic actually looks like a striker. He doesn't look like a glitchy robot. And then somehow Yuri came with that heart, that strength, that inner courage or whatever you want to call it. And he came through and he used that samurai spirit to win this fight.
Jess, let me tell you what he did. He got comfortable in the pocket. And once he got comfortable in that pocket, he slowly started to apply the glitchy, different pressure where Rakic's thinking, I'm assuming he's thinking, this dude is here and I can't find him and I don't know what he's going to do. Is he going to throw a leg kick? Is he going to throw a teep? Is he going to throw a jab? Is he leading with an uppercut? Because Yuri's just so awkward. But, dude, at some point in that second round, and I watched this fight with probably 7-8 dudes that I've watched fights with for 10 years, and these guys were like, Yuri's an animal. He's sitting in that pocket, and he's comfortable. Like, he's chilling in that pocket. Like, my man is there with a grilled cheese sandwich. And Rocky is fucking firing, like he's firing bombs, and Yuri's just kind of moving with it. But again, there were times that he would hit Yuri, and I'm like, and he did it. Like he just kind of kept coming. And credit to Yuri, and he put together those combos. He put together a combo and then kind of half step to the side, and it was so beautiful and so fluid, and it reminded me of some Anderson Silva shit, where he touched him and then moved, anticipating fire back, but there was no fire back because Rocky was hurt and was retreating. And then Yuri just hopped on him, and then that was the difference in the fight. I'm going to try and save it towards the end, Jess, but, man, I want to see Yuri versus Pereira too. If Pereira's not fighting at fucking heavyweight, which I know he was the whispers, if you will.
I can't wait to talk about him.
I want to see Yuri Pereira too. They were having an interesting fight, and Pereira fucking Codman put his lights out, and that was the end of the fucking fight. But prior to that, they were having an interesting fight. Now, maybe Alex does it again because he's doing it with everybody, but dog, come get my $70. I'm here for it.
I fucking love it.
Bo Nickal versus Cody Brundage. This fight was mid. I'm still in your material early, Jess, but give me a thought.
Bo Nickal or Nick Howell or Nickel or whatever you want to say is fucking, he's not ready for shit yet.
Yeah, I mean, he's not ready for shit. He's not like Rojas Jr.
He's not ready for even mid-level competition. Like, Brundage is a decent talent, right? Like, he's got, you know, some strikes, and he's kind of well-rounded. And there were points in this fight when I was like, well, you know, Nickal couldn't, you know, necessarily finish that sub. He couldn't get that takedown. Like, I can't imagine him taking on a true middleweight contender. He would get destroyed.
I think at some point you're going to have him fighting top 15 talent. And there's this...
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
There's this but weird...
It's going to end bad.
There's this weird... Dana has like a stable of dudes that he's in... And ladies. That he's in no rush to put into those type of decisive fights. And I'm puzzled why... Nickal is one of them, because in my seem like a big draw. Like, he doesn't come out with the flashy shit like an Izzy, you know what I mean? He doesn't come out, there's nothing about him that's like, oh, this dude's sexy, I want to see this fucking dude fight again. Like, he's not knocking dudes out and then, you know, doing backflips off the cage. He's just, again, he's a very bland, basic mid-ass fighter. And I say that knowing that he would kill me in 2 minutes, but I have no interest in watching these fights, especially on a pay-per-view. Jess, let's keep it moving here. Armand Tuksian defeats Charles Bronx Oliveira. This is another fight. When you told me that Armand was your favorite, it surprised me. I thought Charles gave him a ton of... I did not believe the choke that he applied at the end of the fight was enough to steal the third round, because it wasn't like, oh, this is a close round, and then Charles got him here. Like, Armand was kind of dominating him. He was grapple fucking him. He was fucking ground and pounding him. And then, Charles kind of flipped him, and then that was it. But give me some thoughts on this fight.
I don't, like, it's hard for me to tell because I'm used to watching a more dominant and confident Charles Oliveira. He didn't really look all that confident. Like, he seemed like he was ready to leave already. Like, he did. Like, he kind of was That's like, fair. Man, I've made my money. I got my woman at home. Like, I got my kid. Like,
He's had a phenomenal run. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
I don't think that there was anything, like, before the fight happened, I didn't feel that Saryukin had anything that he could do better than Oliveira. He can't strike better than Oliveira. His BJJ is obviously not anywhere close.
He could just out-grapple him. He was just out-grappling him. That's how he won that fight.
But fuck, man, Oliveira on his back kind of was, like, just kind of laying there. Yeah, and just like,
well... We'd want to see more out of Oliveira, but because Armand is a strong motherfucker.
He is a strong dude. I got to give him a shout out because Armand definitely, he used his strength, he used his grappling, he used his ability to keep Oliveira on his back. And he kept, you know, like, Oliveira could definitely have thrown up some more attempts. I think that maybe he didn't because just Armand was just that much stronger and just kind of held his body in check. But overall, I was disappointed in Oliveira's, you know, the way that he had prepared, at least the way he came out to fight. I was a bit disappointed.
Yeah, I'll say this about Armand. Incredibly impressive in the first round. Charles won the first round, had a head and arm choked which I thought was deep. Every time I've seen this in combat sports, it looks like this fight ends. And Armand, there was like one of the breakdowns where they show how Armand survives. So that shows me that he does have a little bit of a deeper bag with his jiu-jitsu, at least his jiu-jitsu defense, that I thought he would. Second round, Armand just kind of grapple fuck, but he did throw some big heavy punches, kicks. I was like, big heavy punches in the grappling. And third round, I thought Armand just did enough with the grappling. Again, wasn't a ton, wasn't like overwhelming. It was just enough. Let's keep it moving here, Jess. Let's get to the fight that everybody was talking about. Let's get to the fight that went viral. Max Holloway, Justin Gaethje. There's a reason I want to name this show this week, Bless Man Forever. When we did our picks last week, I gave Max zero, you know, and it reminded me as a, you know, in hindsight of how bad I was with Sami Zayn, where I was like, Sami Zayn got no chance in this motherfucker. And then he ends up winning at WrestleMania. And then I'm like, Max Holloway has a shot in this motherfucker. Justin's going to kill this man. This is the end of Max's career. And then Max just has a career-defining performance. I mean, there's really no other way to put it, Jess. I'll give you my thoughts on the fight, and then I'll let you jump in. I thought the key to the fight was the spinning kick at the end of the first round, which broke Justin's nose.
Yeah.
You know this, Jess, just from being a gym dude. When you're hitting your reps and you're getting real deep into 10, 12, 15, however many reps you're doing, there's the point where you need to inhale through your nose. It's just something you do when you're working out. For me, Jess, it feels like I'm getting more oxygen into my lungs when I'm breathing through my nose. I'm no fucking doctor, but maybe that's true. I got to have that moment when I'm getting through my reps. I could not imagine how I have to deal with a broken fucking nose for 20 minutes and have Max up in your fucking grill throwing kicks, throwing so much body work at you, and then just peppering you with straight punches. And that's what Max was doing, was just peppering him with straight punches, and not being able to breathe the way that I'm used to breathing. I think that held enormous weight in the fight. I think that changed the trajectory of the fight. I think that threw Justin completely off of his game. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope he does it every where he says I'm wrong. But in my opinion, you know, watching the fight game as long as I have and also having a few corners in my under my belt, I see it that way. Like, I could not imagine your nose is broken. Now I'm going to have to fight at my hardest level for 20 more minutes. I thought Justin won, I believe, the third round. Third or the fourth round, it was his most competitive round. But other than that, Max did an incredible job of fighting his fight, a true bull matador style fight. Justin was in the mix. He was throwing what we're used to seeing Justin kill dudes with. Max was just able to stay out of the way. He was able to when Justin was delivering those big blows. I know there was some stuff in there where Max rolled, and I know now we're getting more like that B-roll Twitter, look at Max get hit with this punch, how does any man survive this type of stuff. But for the most part, Jess, it was just an absolute masterful display of bull matador combat sports. I'm going to dictate the fight. And also, I'm going to give you my entire bag. I'm going to kick you in your legs. I'm going to kick you in your knees. I'm going to kick you in your thighs. I'm going to kick you in your stomach. I'm going to punch you in the stomach. I'm going to punch you in the head. I'm going to punch you in the nose. I'm going to punch you everywhere in your head. He dotted that motherfucker. Let me tell you. Give me some thoughts, Jess.
I mean, you basically hit everything. Max's speed was a difference maker. His footwork, a difference maker. The when you're that fast and your boxing is that good, I mean, let's face it, Max is considered one of the best boxers in mixed martial arts right now. In general, overall, like, he's considered one of the best. And he shows every night in, night out when he fights, like, his boxing is definitely a difference maker in most of his fights. Tonight, at 300, what we saw was Justin I think that he, you know, he came in with a mindset that we're just going to come in and bang, bro. Like, I think that that was Justin's mindset. And there's nothing wrong with that. Not
it's
at all.
It's the BMF thing.
Yeah, I think that we know and understand. I think that, I think that Justin knows and understands that the BMF belt's not a real thing. You know what I mean? It's just something for fun, you know? Like, I think that he came in to this fight with Max Holloway knowing that Max was going to bang bro with him, and they did. Max was just he was just a tick faster. He was a tick able to move and bend a little bit, maybe taking some of those punches that people were showing on Twitter land, you know, where it looks like it's landing flush. Maybe Max is moving slightly enough to where it's not as flush. And then yeah. The nose break, I think that does obviously play into things because you need to breathe through your nose. You need to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, right? That's how you know the oxygen works, you know, oxygen in, CO2 out. When you can't breathe in and you're breathing it through your mouth and then breathing out through your mouth, it actually causes an imbalance in your blood, right? So like things typically slow down. The blood flow slows down. You're bringing in too much CO2 and not enough clean oxygen. So yeah, when you're having to fight an extra 20 minutes or so with a broken nose, it's definitely 1000% going to affect you. And I think that Justin's little at the end, right? So I think that I agree with you. I think Justin won, you know, like maybe the third. I think it was the third round, probably. Mm-hmm. I would have gave to Justin. He was able to just do enough, right? Like Max kind of slowed down even a little bit to maybe catch his breath a bit. And so I would give that round to Justin. At the end of it all, when Max points to the ground and says, "Let's fucking go."
Yep.
That's an iconic moment now, right? Everybody's got the picture on their wall. Everybody's got the picture on their iPhone screen. It's an iconic moment. And the reason that Justin gets knocked out is because I don't think he exerted all the oxygen that he had left in his body. And when he got hit in the dome, that was it. There was nothing else left to connect the dots. And yeah. he went to sleep. That's I think that Max had hit him flush several times and we didn't see him go down. I think by that moment, he had just simply said, "Fuck it," started swinging, and all the oxygen left his body. He got hit flush. It was night-night time.
The classic, the punch you don't see coming is the punch that knocks you out, right? And as well, with the right hand. And just
that's true.
Perfectly timed. Just an unbelievable night and an unbelievable performance for Max. I want to throw a few names at you here, Jess. Who do you think he fights next, and who do you want to see him fight next? I'm going to throw Topuria, and I'm going to throw McGregor.
I'll tell you who I want to see him fight next. I want to see him fight Sean O'Malley.
Whoa! Cool. But that's at 145?
It would be featherweight. So
or 135. That's 135. Yeah,
it would be a drop.
I don't know if you can make 135 anymore. That was 10
years
ago.
I don't either, but I would like to see Sean move up.
Ooh.
He said he would
go up to fight Topuria.
That's right. And I know that Topuria is a hot topic right now. And that's where a lot of MMA analysts were like, "Oh, well, let's see Max, you know, versus Topuria." I get that. And I know that the O'Malley fight's not going to happen. I know that the Topuria fight's not going to happen because Max still has at least another fight to win before he can, like, claim any kind of title shot. But I just think for all-out, fun-ass fucking fight reasons, I would love to see him fight Sean O'Malley.
I want to see Connor. I think that's just such a fun, enormous money fight. And you do the BMF belt, do it in Vegas. It's got the sex appeal. It's got everything. It's got
maybe
everything.
You do it after he loses to Chandler.
And it's got, they fought 10 years ago and Connor, you know, when they were both rising stars, and Connor barely won that fight. If you remember that, just Connor barely won that fight. So I want to see that fucking fight again, but that's just me. I think that he gets Topuria. They're going to do that.
I think it's too early.
in that fight.
Maybe Dana throws him a bone because Max has been around for a while and he's been loyal.
If you saw Dana after that fight at the press conference, the guy had fucking pom poms and a fucking Max Holloway hat on. The guy
That's
was
what
fucking,
happens when you take a bump, man. Like
the guy,
he was fucking right.
He created rock and roll, fucking double pom poms, like, twerking, all that. But fucking, you
fucking
know,
some monster and a bump, dude. He was I'm fucking ready to go right
that,
now.
Now that is that's a party. Let me tell you, fuck, a lot of caffeine, a lot of sugar. So yeah, you know what? That's the route that I think they go. I think they go to Perea. The O'Malley thing. Man, I haven't even heard whispers of that, but ooh, that sounds fun. But again, I think that you'd have to get O'Malley to agree to come up to that fight. But I think
if it didn't mean anything, I think if no belt was on the line,
well, the BMF belt, like the BMF belt's on the line.
Okay, maybe it's the BMF belt, not O'Malley's. You know,
no,
maybe it's not O'Malley's
belt.
You put the BMF belt on the line. I think that that's just a fun-ass fucking fight.
I think that once you put that BMF belt up, you just can easily go, well, it's a catchweight. It's 150 pounds. But God, even asking Max to make 150, I don't think he can make 150. Maybe.
Or maybe since, you know, like I know that he just lost. But, you know, maybe Charles Oliveira gets a shot at the BMF belt.
I doubt it. I think that. I know Charles said he still wants to fight. But
I still think that's a fun ass fight.
I think my dog Charles is gonna be back on the line. He's gonna end up fucking main eventing Apex Zone. That's the reason to be fucking.
He's gonna be on the dark card.
Yeah, fucking not back to main eventing the Apex. Versus some young up and comers because that's how they do it in the UFC.
How far he's fallen, man, if he's even made
it
to the
Apex. Hey, you know,
nobody likes the Apex, man. Nobody.
I get it. Zhang Weili versus Yan Zhiyuan. I don't want to spend a ton of time on this fight.
Boring ass fight, man. Zhang, I think
Yan dropped Zhang, though. Yan dropped her. Dropped her ass.
She gets dropped every fight.
That's a great point. That's a great point. It really is. Zhang is tough. He's a great grappler, and Yan will be back once Yan learns how to grapple with the
best. What I like about Weili is that she's a bang. You know, she's a bang bro too, right?
She
loves to throw the bombs, you know, and I love it. But that's where she gets dropped. She usually gets dropped like almost once a fight. Like we've seen it happen several times. She always, typically gets back up unless you know she gets kicked in the head by Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, she's a tough ass fight to there's not a strawweight, I believe, right now that's going to easily take the belt away from her.
Yeah. Main event, Alex Pereira, Jamahal Hill. This fight came on, it was like fucking 11 o'clock at night or some shit. So shout out to people on the East Coast that stayed up till 2 in the goddamn morning. You want to talk about Coke and a monster? Like, goddamn.
there are some New Yorkers that were fucking rearing to go.
Let me say this before we talk about this fight, and then we are so out of here. I came home from a party with my wife, and I left right after the BMF belt. So I came home, I started watching the fight as I was mopping my house. Because I came home because my dog fucking peed all over my house. So I was mopping my house while watching this fight. So thankfully I didn't miss a ton. But I was like a fucking custodian with a mop in my hand standing watching Pereira Hill enjoying myself. Give me some thoughts on this fight, Jeff. Short and sweet fight. Give me some thoughts.
Yeah, short and sweet, man. Like, here's the thing. I think that we had talked about it a little bit before on the last show.
We both gave
Hill
no chance.
Jamahal Hill could possibly get caught up in the lights a little bit. And people were talking about him being a little bit nervous. I think he hit his nerves well. But overall, he's not talented enough striker to hang with a guy like Potan. Pereira he's a beast. He's one of a kind guy right now. Like, I don't think I've ever really seen an athlete of his caliber. We can compare him to Izzy and everything. And I think that honestly, Izzy and Pereira, like that's a fight that if we can do that 20 times in a row, let's fucking do it. Cause there's no one else that really deserves to be in the cage with either one. There were some iconic moments, obviously with the Max Holloway stuff. And the other one is the cup, he gets checked.
Yeah.
He gets checked in the dick. Right. And then the ref comes in, he does his job. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I love Bray is like, nah, man, no, fuck off.
That was
fuck
great.
Off. Let me go.
He big timed him.
He says, look, let me do my thing. I'm good. Leave me alone. And then the very next fucking shot puts him down. In what fucking universe does that happen? That's called a fucking career-defining moment. That's another one. We had multiples on this card, and that was another one. In what world can you even write that in a script? Nah, he's going to shove the ref away after getting checked in the cup. And then he's going to throw the most awkward overhand left and put fucking Hill out. And Hill, his eyes rolled back.
It was bad.
You, his eyes did. And it wasn't even flush. It was not even a flush. Like it was the most awkward overhand left I have ever seen in my life. And it put him straight down on his ass. And then I think for a minute, Pereira was like, fuck, I think I just won. And he's like, oh shit, didn't stop the fight. I got to go down there and fucking hammer him out.
Dribble him a little bit.
And boy, did he ever fucking dribble him for another minute. Holy shit. Just the strikes were impressive. Alex Pereira and what got posted on our Twitter at Team Toss 21 is Alex Pereira. Can he be considered one of the greatest of all times right now? And I'm telling you right now, like his skill set, his temperament, what he brings to the table, how he finishes fights, it's something that we've not seen in a very long time. And he is a very, very impressive dude.
Yeah. You know, this was a great moment for the UFC with regards to they need to build stars now. And the best way to build stars is to have crazy knockout artists knocking guys out. And when you go to, like, that Vanderlei Silva, Chuck Liddell type of knockout footage, that's all positive for the UFC. We both didn't give Hill much of a chance. No surprises there. I'm not sure what happens with Hill. I know he's kind of talking a bunch of shit on the old internet, but Lord knows what happens next. But I'm more focused on what they do next.
Maybe he can podcast.
We'd love to have him as guest. Come on,
Everett. Right, we'll bring him on the podcast as a third guy.
We need a guy that loves to
and
fight.
And then I'll make fun of his fucking thumbs up tattoos on his fucking armpits.
We'll just start a GoFundMe to get it corrected. Now, this guy made a lot of money. He should be getting those cleaned up himself. He should be. He's a shirt guy.
Well, I hope the fucking God he does.
Let me say this, Jess. I don't want to do dog chase tail, but no. I'm less about talking about Hill and more about talking about Poatan and mostly Poatan versus Jiří. That's the fight to make. Unless Poatan's thinking, you know what? I'm going to jump up to fucking heavyweight and I'm going to.
Here's the deal. If Jones gets fucked with this legal stuff and Dana says, man, I'm not going to let you fight.
Very much in play.
Or maybe Jones can't fight, which could happen. Who wins between Tom Aspinall and Alex Pereira?
Man, Aspinall has fast hands, Jesse. That's the one thing that I bank on with Aspinall. He has fast hands. And getting knocked out by a 185er and getting knocked out by getting hit by a heavyweight, man, those are two different things.
It's true.
Man, I love that fight. I don't even want to say it's a pick'em because that's a stylistic.
I'll tell you right now. I would lean Aspinall.
I want to lean Aspinall
I,
right
I,
now.
I never. I Gun really don't ever want to go when you got to move up to heavyweight to be being an actual fucking heavyweight. Heavyweights just hit different.
Gun to my head right now, Jess, I go Aspinall, but I'm not crazy confident in it. And I believe Aspinall might have to grapple a little bit. And I don't think he's a great. Yeah, see what I mean? I don't think he's a great grappler. But if they're just going to stand there and trade, or, you know, if they're going to try and stylistically pick each other apart, again, I know Aspinall's got fast hands, but man, they both have one punch knockout power.
Yeah, they do.
But I've seen Aspinall get hit really hard by our boy the Pabs, and he walked forward. So can he do the same with Pereira? I don't know.
Let me tell you right now, I think the way it would look on screen is like a normal fucking kickboxing match. Because Aspinall, I've seen him lay some wood with those legs, but I mean, he's got some heavy kicks. And we know that he's got fast, pretty heavy hands. Pereira's got heavy hands at his weight class. I think he's got heavy hands at 205. And you know what his record is in kickboxing. I think we'd see an old-fashioned kickboxing style fight.
Jess, let's hit the wrap it up button.
All right, folks, I'm not going to spend too much time on shout-outs, but I'm going to shout out to people that matter. All of our friends, Justin Von Doom, Shay Rollins, Smash Squad MMA,
That
Jimmy
boy,
Jam,
Gateway
Jimmy, you know,
Sports.
thank you. Shout out to Jimmy for always doing his thing and shouting us out and keeping us just feeling positive, you know, with either, you know, kind words or porn. Jimmy, you're the guy.
Double, double podcast.
Shout out to the sponsor folks, and that's going to start at the top of Variety Sports Network. Follow them on Twitter at Variety underscore sports underscore, and then follow down the line. The line goes long. It's deep now. They got a deep crew. They got us, obviously. Follow us at Team Toss 21. You got Fat Boy Fadeaway Sports. You got the TMB pod that's still somewhere floating around out there. Tyler, our boy Tyler, we love you. Our boy Brian, we love you too.
Double
And
double
then
podcast.
down the line, Double Double Podcast. There's
Seventh inning stretch.
Far Into the Bench Podcast, the 7-Inning Stretch Podcast. Oh man, the list goes on and on. I don't want to name too many. Let me just tell you, if you go to Variety Sports on Twitter, you can basically follow anything that's attached to them, and you will find anything from golf to fucking NASCAR to fucking jobbers like us to fucking everything else under the sun like that matters in sports. Okay, so if you go to Variety Sports Network again at Variety underscore sports underscore and just go through their podcast list, man, they got a lot. You find a bunch of shit on YouTube. Thanks to my boy Tyler, I'm out there floating around on YouTube now. You can see me and
Yeah.
my pretty face, you know. And then if you just want to listen to straight up podcasts, of course I'm going to tell you to start with ours. Because I believe that we are the best.
Of
If I
course.
if it, when you want to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. And I believe that we are the champions, folks. So if you want to beat us, you got to beat us first, you know, then take the title away. Team Toss 21 on Twitter. Follow my boy Jason over here at Valdez, spelled backwards, 559. Follow myself at JTT underscore 81. And folks, for the rest of you, enjoy the show. Hit that subscribe button on both Apple and Spotify, and we will talk to you here soon. Thank you.